They're after us. They know we're still in here.
They're after the place. They don't know why. They just remember. Remember that they want to be in here.
What the hell are they?
They're us, that's all. There's no more room in hell.
What?
Something my granddaddy used to tell us. You know Makumbo? Voodoo. Granddad was a priest in Trinidad. Used to tell us, when there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
This week, pioneer horror filmmaker George Romero died, age 77. The Cuban-Lithuanian-American, who grew up in the Bronx, debuted with his first feature in 1968, a zombie film called Night of the Living Dead, shot in black and white on a shoestring with a group of friends. It was powerful cinema, but also a striking metaphor for the race riots and civil disturbances that were then tearing America apart. Indeed, most of Romero's Dead series, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Land of the Dead, and Diary of the Dead, can be read as statements about American social ills, racism, consumerism, militarism, corporate greed. I met him when he was in town for the Melbourne International Film Festival back in 2008, and I thought I'd replay the interview. It begins with the question, does the idea of a political metaphor come first with a Romero film?
No, usually the idea does come first, or some observation of what seems to be going on out there. When I made the first film, Night of the Living Dead, I didn't have those kind of expectations, and I think all the political stuff that is in it, some of it was accidental. I mean, Dwayne Jones, who plays the lead role, is an African-American. He happened to be the best actor from among our friends. Film was finished before Martin Luther King was shot. The posse came through and shot that character in the head when on the page he was still a white guy. So we really can't take credit for that. Then all of a sudden, after the film was out in the United States and had disappeared, drive-ins, neighborhood theaters, it was gone. Actually returned some money, and we said, easy business. Started to work on another film, and we're actually working on the third when all of a sudden a magazine in France, Cahiers du Cinéma, was the first to write about Night of the Living Dead, calling it essential American cinema. And it panicked me. And I said, yikes, I mean, what am I really resisted wanting to do another one. I said, boy, I've got to really step up to the plate if I'm ever going to tackle this again. And then socially, I knew the people who developed this big shopping mall in Pennsylvania, the first big indoor shopping temple to consumerism. And I went out to visit before it was even open. That was the moment. I said, here's a nice idea. And instead of the farmhouse, I'll have some people hole up in this mall, and I'll have some fun talking about consumerism and all this. And that's when it came to me. I said, you know, I could do this every once in a while. I could, if I see something out there that I want to talk about or express my opinion about, I can bring the zombies out of the closet and glue them on.
Who to you are the zombies? And has your idea changed with the films as you've developed them?
They don't represent anything. I mean, I've read analyses of these, you know, everything from in the beginning, they were the silent majority, you know, and none of that. To me, they could be Hurricane Katrina. They're just the disaster. And the stories are more about how people deal with that disaster or fail to deal with it or deal with it stupidly.
When the zombies reappear, is it usually because George Romero is particularly angry at something in the world?
Angry? Angry or just finding it silly. I mean, that shopping mall, I just said, this is the ultimate. And I didn't think that it could go much further than that. And of course, it always does. There's always that little bit of disappointment, too. You keep thinking, well, you know, the Bush administration, this will certainly bring them down. No, next year there's another big thing that is certain to bring them down, and somehow it doesn't happen. So you just sort of keep plodding ahead.
I want to move on to talk about some of your other films now, films that are showing in this retrospective in Melbourne. One I was particularly taken with was your film Martin, about a young troubled guy who may or may not be a vampire. You've said it's your favourite film.
It is, yeah.
Why is that?
You know, I don't know that it's the best film. It's so hard to look at them that way. It's sort of like, you know, which is your favourite kid? So much goes into that. Your favorite kid may not necessarily be the best behaved, but that's sort of the way it is, I find, with my films.
But Martin in particular, I found it worked as a metaphor, I think, for a certain sort of migrant experience and that tension between the generations in a migrant family, between the generation that looks still to the old country and the generation that kind of has to deal with living in the new country and living with the weight, I guess, of all that past and all those traditions. Does it reflect your own experience?
Not necessarily my own, but my dad's probably more, and my grandfather on my mother's side, you know, just talking to those guys and, you know, realizing what they had to go through and the generational changes and the acceptance of things. Like my grandfather could never accept sort of that New York way of life, you know. He really was clinging to the old country ways, everything from the food to the just the behavior, and he couldn't ever get with this, you know, this sort of more liberal free thinking. And I always found conflict between that, and I just thought, well, this is a neat way, you know, if I use this vampire idea. The old guy is believes that it runs, that there's something in the family blood, you know, and so he's just trying to push that on the kid. Did that cause the kid to be troubled? I don't know, but in my mind, he's not. You have to make a pick when you're doing a movie like that, and my pick was he's not. He enjoys the taste of blood, but he's not a vampire in the supernatural sense. He's just sort of twisted young guy. He was very honest about it. He calls into this radio show and talks about it very openly.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, the old world way is to just drive a stake through that guy's heart. So it's a bit like, you know, what happened to autistic people 50 years ago.
George Romero speaking to me in 2008. He died this week. You've been listening to The Final Cut. I'm Jason DeRosso. See you next week.